Good afternoon. I have a question for you, as usual. What is the most important thing in your life? I had to ask this question about a year and a half ago for my job, and I was actually in the interview, and I said my religion, and he understood. But that's not really the answer that I was looking for. What is the most important thing in your life? I think we can all agree that we are here to have a relationship with God. That's number one priority. I mean, there's many other things we're learning, but learning how to have a relationship with God is number one on that list. As said in Deuteronomy, God commanded us to love Him with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul. And also Jesus said the same thing. That was the first commandment. David eloquently put it, our desire that, as we sing as the deer, in Psalm 42:2, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. And that's what we have with God's Spirit in us. We long for Him, a relationship with Him. At the same time, though, we have this dynamic of we have sin in our lives that pushes us away from Him. So it's a struggle to make sure we focus on that relationship. Mr. Luker, about a month and a half ago, we were having a meeting, a leadership meeting, and we were talking about things, and one thing in particular struck a chord with me. He was talking about what makes a great leader. He talked about what makes a good and lasting leader. And the first on his list was a relationship with God. It's scary to think, and he didn't say this, but I was thinking this in my head. Scary to think we can be good at Bible studying, we can be great singers like we were this morning or just 10 minutes ago. We can do a lot of things right. We can have a relationship with other members of our church. We can serve here, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we have a good relationship with God. So what does it take? What does it take to focus on this? And the real reason that Mr. Luker's comment struck a chord with me. And that's not the only comment that struck a chord. That was just relative to this sermonette. The reason that struck a chord with me was because previous to that, I had been thinking about what I could do to better my relationships, just my general relationships with my friends, and how maybe my deficiencies with my relationship with my friends would affect my relationship with God. So I've been on a quest to try to find out and look for characteristics that would help in this relationship, the most important relationship that we have. Now I understand the complexity of this subject, and I only have a few minutes to do this, but I want to take a stab at it, and I think it's a good thing to do collectively, and maybe you can think about it more with me afterwards and talk to me afterwards and talk to each other. If we only had a book, though, that was inspired by God, that we could maybe head us in the right direction. Luckily for us, we do. We have the Bible. And as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So I went looking. I was looking who in the Bible specifically was called the friend of God. I know God had lots of friends in the Bible. It's His Bible. But turn with me now to Isaiah 41:8, if you will. If I can find it. Isaiah 41:8. This is not the only place that this was mentioned, but this is just one in particular that I thought was interesting. And it's midway through, I'm not going to give any context here, but it says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend." What an awesome thing to be said about any person, my friend. This is also said, 2 Chronicles 27, James 2:23. This individual was well known to be the friend of God. So I'm going to attempt to glean what I can in these few minutes I have up here from Abraham's life. And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but what I notice, characteristics of Abraham that we could pull into our lives to strengthen that most important relationship, most important thing in our lives. So the first thing I noticed was Abraham's respect. I don't know if that's the only word that we can use or that would be to describe this, but turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 13. Genesis 13:8. We'll begin exploring this a little bit further. 13:8. And Abraham had been living here with his nephew, and began to get crowded. You know, they had lots of animals, and things started to get a little bit too cramped. And here's Abraham's response, or Abram's at the time. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Abraham showed a lot of respect to other people, not only to God, but to other people. I don't know what you would have done in the same instance. If it was your nephew, I would say, go find somewhere else to keep your sheep. But he was very respectful and let him choose wherever he wanted. Turn with me now to Genesis 18, 2 through 8. This is going to be a little bit fast, but I hope it's useful. Genesis 18, 2 through 8. So, I think Abraham was just sitting here underneath the tree. It was the heat of the day. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if you have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant." And it's not clear if he knew that this was God as well with these three individuals, but he obviously showed a lot of respect. He says, "Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, and as much as you have come to your servant." And they said, "Do as you've said." So Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. That's hospitality. That's respect. And I'm sure you can think of other words. He showed a lot of honor to other people. Turn with me again. Actually, maybe it's on your next page. Genesis 18:25. It says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this." He's talking to God here after it was revealed that it was God. And God was just letting him know that he was going to go over to Sodom and check the place out to see if it was true that all that was said about Sodom was a place full of sin. And so he was telling Abraham here. And Abraham had so much respect, and you'd have to have so much respect for God to be able to talk to him and converse like this. "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." Then Abraham answered and said, "Indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there are 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 45, I will not destroy it." Without a doubt, Abraham had a lot of respect that had been developed for God, and just complete honor that he could actually communicate in this way to God. And that's something that we hear a lot about. I mean, we need to esteem each other better than ourselves, and we need to, this kind of perspective of our place, and compared to other people, and compared to God, who is on Most High, we need to have the right, first of all, have the right mindset so that we can come to God and have a relationship with Him. The second thing I noticed was Abraham's independence from the world that he cherished. He was independent from the world in that he wasn't permitted to worship God as he wished. I'll tell you what I mean. I'll show you what I mean. If you turn to Genesis 14, 21. 14:21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourselves." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will take any, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich." He didn't want to be under this king. He wanted to be free, because they had gone together and he had saved his nephew, and there were spoils, and he said, "Take what you want. He wanted to be his own nation. We have similar freedoms. We live in an independent United States that we can worship when and how we want. So turn with me as well to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, and I'll just mention a few scriptures here where Abraham put up an altar for God. It was in 7 and 8. Also in 18, where he just, I'll read it. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I'll give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord, and who had appeared to him." I'm sure Abraham had a lot of time to be able to spend with God and worshiping God, which we have to be careful of the same thing, because although we live in an independent place, we have a lot of things vying for our attention and our time. And I'm sure you can think of a few. We have to make sure that our first focus is God. And the third, and perhaps the most talked about thing from Abraham that we can learn to help better our relationship with God, is his complete belief, his trust and faith in God. He just believed. And this was talked about a lot in the New Testament, so if you'll go there with me. Hebrews 11. I know this is a lot of scriptures for a sermonette, but if you go Hebrews 11, 8, we'll just read a little passage. I encourage you to read the rest. It's very good. Hebrews 11. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So what it hints at here is it wasn't comfortable, but Abraham believed. And he went wherever God told him. He did whatever God said, and he believed. Turn with me to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, the last couple scriptures here. Genesis 15, 5-6. Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. There was no thinking. He already had such respect and honor for God that he believed whatever he said, which is pretty amazing. One more scripture which is probably one of the most well-known stories, Genesis 22, 1 through 3. And this is of his sacrifice of his son. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey. He not only did automatically what God told him, but he rose early in the morning. I don't know how many of you rose early in the morning this morning with the extra hour that we had, but he was obviously completely trusting and had the utmost faith in God and what he said. So I realized that was fast, and but I want to say one last thing. One important thing to remember when we're studying things like this is that if you read the story yourself, Abraham wasn't perfect, and that wasn't one of the prerequisites for having a relationship with God. And I hope I encourage you to read these stories, and we can all gather these different characteristics together and encourage one another on the Sabbath to pursue this relationship. And although there's not always as much as we'd like said about these individuals, I look forward to the day that we're together, as Jesus described in Matthew 8:11, together asking Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about the rest of the story.